Welcome to week 6 of the Lose Weight Fast Academy. Now this week we're going to be looking into customising your diet for your unique needs even further. Now so far we've looked into your metabolic burnout type to give you how much carbs you need for your individual body to help balance your hormones. But this week we're going to look even more in depth in the inner workings of your body, looking at your organ and function, looking at your hormone function, so we can customise your diet even further. Now every single person in this planet is unique, so we've got a completely different internal environment. So the questionnaire we're going to use today is going to help us identify things that maybe is not quite working as well in your internal body, so we can give you some supplements to fix them so you can speed up your results even further. So we'll do this for our biological terrain assessment. Now the biological terrain assessment is a series of questions which reveals your current biological terrain, in other words your internal work environment of your own body. Now this enables us to give you a customized supplement plan to rebalance your biological terrain. So everyone's different, everyone's internal environment is completely different, and because of this we need to customize the supplements to your own needs in order to balance it again. So for example, some people might have problems with the digestion, some people might have different balances of the hormones, the adrenal glands might be completely different. So once we know how the internal body's working, we'll give you supplements to help balance your body so you see even better results. So the biological terrain assessment looks at the function of your stomach, large intestine, small intestine, your liver and gallbladder, kidney and bladder, adrenal glands, your thyroid, as well as your blood glucose levels, to look at absolutely everything in your body to see how it's all working. Now this allows us to identify things which may be holding you back and slowing down your results, such as low thyroid, increased cortisol, overburden detoxification pathways. Now without this assessment, you don't know what's going on in the body, so you don't know what's been holding you back in the past. So if there is something you're not seeing as good a result as you hope, something will come out on this biological terrain. It'll identify what's been holding you back, and then we can give you a customized supplement list of how to balance your body so you see even better results. So your diet and exercise only works to the degree that your physiology allows you to. So to explain this, just imagine going travelling across a country. So if the country's all flat, if you're walking along it, it's going to be dead easy. You can get from one side to the other. Now, if you're having to travel across loads of hills and mountains along there, it's going to make that journey a lot more difficult. And this is how the slim and healthy internal environment is, same with the overweight and unhealthy. The slim and healthy is like a nice flat surface. So if you're trying to lose weight, you're just going to do it very, very easily because there's nothing going wrong in the internal system. So weight loss is going to be very, very simple. However, on the other side, the overweight and unhealthy is like having lots of obstacles to overcome along the way. So if you're traveling a country, you've got loads of mountains to overcome, it's going to be a lot more challenging. Same with your internal environment. If you've got lots of problems going on in your internal environment, there's going to be a lot trickier path in order to help you to lose weight. So this biological assessment is going to help identify how your internal system's working to see if there's any challenges along the way, and then if we find anything that might be holding you back, we'll give you a supplement list to make it a lot easier in order to lose weight. So what we're going to do is look at each of the organs and how they're functioning in your body individually. Same with your hormones as well. We're going to go through each one by one, and say the supplements which are needed for that kind. After this, you can go fill in the biological terrain, find out what's going on in your body, and then you can take the supplements for what you need. But you don't need to take all these supplements. These supplements that we can advise on this are just for that individual problem. So if you don't have that problem, you don't need to take them supplements. But it's good to know what they all are anyway, just to give you an idea of how supplements work and how they work for the body as well. So it's a good idea to watch a whole video. But after you've watched the video, go fill in the biological terrain, find out which problems you've got, and then take the supplements for that. So the first organ we're going to look at is your stomach. Now your stomach breaks down food into chyme. So when it comes into your body, it needs to get broken down in order for you to be able to digest it and take out the proteins, fats and carbs from them foods. So any problems in your stomach here means that food won't break down properly. Now, if foods aren't broken down properly, it's going to affect the rest of the digestion process. So it's very important you have a good functioning stomach. Now, if you don't, it can lead to a backlog of undigested foods, so you're feeling bloated, your stomach might be bigger as well, cause a whole host of problems such as IBS as well, diarrhea can also cause constipation, so you really need to have a good functioning stomach. Now, if you find in the biological terrain that there's problems with your stomach, then these are the supplements that you might want to be taking. So these supplements here help to increase stomach acid production. Now, you can take dandelion, you can take this in capsule forms, or you can take it as a tea, or you can take mugwort tea as well. And these are just going to help your stomach produce more acid in order to help you digest foods far better. Now, the next organ is your small intestine as well. So your small intestine, after it's been digested in your stomach, it travels to the small intestine. Once it's in there, it helps break down these foods into proteins, fats and carbs, and absorb nutrients from this from the foods, passes them into the bloodstream, and then any undigestible foods enter the large intestine, which can then be passed out of the body. So any problems here means you won't get the full nutrients from the foods you eat. So it's very important in order to have a good functioning small intestine, because if not, you could be eating the best foods out there, organic, but you will not be getting the nutrients from the food. So if you've got any problems here, it's very important to take the supplements and make sure you get everything that's in the foods. So small intestine, you want to take supplements that help with the bacterial overgrowth. So you can take peppermint oil, you can get this in liquid form or capsules. Grapefruit seeds extract, you can get this in liquid or capsules as well. Garlic, you can get this in tablets, or just eating fresh garlic is great. And coconut oil, which is what you should be cooking in. Now, the large intestine is the last part of the digestive system, and this absorbs water from the remaining food matter and then passes waste from your body. So any problems here can cause constipation, diarrhea, and all sorts of other problems as well. It also leads to a backlog of toxic waste in your system, which can have a knock-on effect to other organs of the body and in turn lead to disease. So if you've got all this toxic waste building up inside your body and you're not passing it out your body, it's all going to build up, it's going to poison your body even more. So you really do need a good working large intestine, get all this toxic food out your system far, far quicker to stop it from having a knock-on effect to the rest of your body. So for a good call on health and cleansing, again, you might want to take dandelion, which are capsules, and you can take it as tea as well. Fennel seed is also good. You can get this in liquid, capsule, seeds, or as tea as well. Fenugreek is good. You can get these in capsules, or licorice, you can get these in capsules or tea. So if you do have this problem, you don't have to take more. You might want to take one or two of them, but these are the ones that are good for your colon health, cleansing and helping pass food from your body and helping with constipation and diarrhea. Next one we're going to look at is the liver. Now, this is the most important internal organ of the body. Any problems here is going to completely affect your whole body. So apart from your heart and your brain, the next important organ is your liver. The liver is responsible for clearing toxins from the body, metabolizing proteins, controlling hormones through mopping up excess hormones from the bloodstream, produces bile, lipogenesis, which means it breaks down fat for energy. It helps store glycogen, it also stores vitamin A, D, B12, iron and copper. So the liver is very, very important. So if your liver isn't functioning properly, your body's not going to function properly. So problems with the liver can lead to digestive problems, abnormal metabolism of fats, immune system problems, hormone imbalances, and also build up of toxins and poison the body. So if you've got found out from the biological terrain assessment that your liver's not working, then it's important to get that functioning properly and taken these supplements. So these supplements here increase the rate of detoxification, increase bile as well, just to help your body and your liver to work more efficiently. So the best one here is milk thistle. You can get that in liquid form. So milk thistle really is great for helping with your liver. Dandelion again, so that's another good one. So you can get capsules and this and tea. Now, foods that are good for eating for the liver are artichoke, onion, garlic and apples. So if you see a lot of liver cleansers out there, they will contain a lot of apples, garlic, onions and artichokes. So these foods are great for improving your liver as well. So as well as taking milk thistle and dandelion, make sure you're eating lots of these foods to help improve your liver. Next organ is the kidney and bladder. So these remove waste products from the blood and then secrete urine. So any problems with the kidney leads to a build-up of waste products in the body. Just like it does in the large intestine, it does in the kidney and bladder as well. So problem with the bladder leads to problems with the frequency of urination or even trouble emptying the bladder as well. So if you have any of these problems, it's very important to take the supplements to fix it. So supplements you can take, yeah, you can take juniper berry, and take this in liquid or capsules. Gravel root is also great. This is in liquid or dried herb. Now you can also take cranberry as a supplement, but cranberry, eating lots of cranberries as well, really, really good for cleaning out your kidney and bladder. Also eating asparagus, watermelon, lemon, celery and parsley all help with your kidney and bladder. So making sure you've got these problems, you're adding them foods in on top of the supplements as well. So the next one we're looking at is your adrenal glands. Now though, your adrenal glands release hormones in response to stress. Main hormones that they release are cortisol, adrenaline and noradrenaline. Now adrenal glands can be overstimulated and produce too much hormones. So that's the first stage of your adrenal glands going wrong, is that it's overstimulated for too much, so it's constantly releasing cortisol around your body and it just wreaks havoc amongst your body. Once it gets tired of doing this, the next stage is for them to become burned out and not produce enough hormones. So this is adrenal fatigue, where it's been overstimulated for too long, it's now tired, now it's not producing enough hormones. Whether you've got adrenal fatigue or overstimulated, the adrenal glands affects blood sugar levels, digestion, fatigue, immune system, muscle and joint pains, excess fat storage around the stomach, and can prevent weight loss. So if you've got any problems, we're going to look at adrenal fatigue and overstimulated. So if you've got any problems with either of them, very important to take the supplements for what you need for that. First one we're going to look at is for overstimulated adrenal glands. So these are when they're working too much and there's too much cortisol being produced. So on the Bagel Terrain Assessment, this is under adrenal function high. So if it comes up that you've got high adrenal function, these are the supplements you want to take. Quite a lot on here, so you might not want to take them all. You might just want to take a few of these, but if you want to take them all, that's great. But probably the best one, well, one of the best ones is ashwagandha. You can get this in a powder or capsules. Another great one is rhodiola, again powder or capsules. So make sure you don't take ashwagandha and rhodiola at the same time. Either take one or the other and cycle on and off them. Korean ginseng is also great. You can take that in powder or capsules. Magnolia bark in capsules. Skullcap, you can take that in liquid in capsules. Tulsi tea as well. Zinc and magnesium are very, very important for everything in your body. So much that goes on your body needs zinc and magnesium, so make sure you're taking these for good health, not just for your adrenal glands. And also branched chain amino acids are good for you if your adrenal glands are being overstimulated, and you can take this in the form of powder. Now the next one is if your adrenal function is low. So this is on the Biological Terrain. If you find out your adrenal functions is low and they're not functioning properly, they're not producing the hormones that they're meant to produce, they've become tired, so these supplements are going to help with that. So first one again, ashwagandha, powder or capsules is really great for just helping the adrenal glands heal. Rhodiola is good. Out of these two for the low functioning, ashwagandha is probably better than the rhodiola for low functioning, but remember, cycle on and off them. Now Siberian ginseng, and that's in powder or capsule forms, different to the Korean ginseng. Similar benefits but slightly different, which is why we're recommending the Siberian ginseng. Green tea, you can drink this as tea or you can take green tea capsules. Also the zinc and magnesium as well, and also vitamin C. So these are the supplements that you'll want to take. You might not want to take them all, pick a few of them. You might want to take 2 or 3 one month, 2 or 3 the next month. Cycle on and off them as well, but these are the supplements that are great for if your adrenal glands aren't working efficiently. Next one is your thyroid. Now your thyroid is very, very important for weight loss. It controls how quickly the body uses energy, how sensitive the body is to other hormones, also makes protein. So basically the thyroid is a master regulator of metabolism. Any problems here can greatly slow down your metabolism and slow down weight loss. So problems with the thyroid include slow metabolism, unexplained weight gain, unbalance of other hormones, increased sensitivity to cold, joint pain, muscle weakness. Now, if you find out that you've got a low thyroid, I would seriously suggest going to the doctors and getting tested on there. Now, if it does come back that you've got low thyroid, make sure you message me in the Facebook group, because I can give you some more advice. Because when doctors give you the hormone thyroid replacement therapy, they give you like a fake version which isn't quite as well. Now what you want to do is ask for one called Armathyroid, and that's more natural and is far better. Now doctors won't normally recommend this because it's more expensive for them, and they don't want to waste money when they can give you a cheaper version. But if you do have some problem with your thyroid and it is low, and you do find out from the doctors and they are going to give you some thyroid to help with it, ask for Armathyroid, it's far more better. Now if you do find on the assessment that you've got problems with your thyroid, it's low, you go to the doctors and these can't find anything wrong with it, then take the supplements that are on this list. Now, reason being, doctors can't always find out what's wrong with your thyroid because they measure it a different way, and there can be problems with it, but they can't measure it 100% accurate, which is why even if the doctors say it's not, you might still have problems with it. So they can only measure how much is being released. They can't actually measure how much is being absorbed by the body. So if it's not being absorbed, then you're still not going to be getting effects from the thyroid, which is when you'll need to start taking the supplements that you're finding here. So if you do find out you've got a low thyroid, you might want to take iodine, but be very, very careful for this. If you take too much of it, it can be really bad for your body. It can mess up the thyroid even more. So if you are to take iodine, be very careful. Speak to your doctor about taking iodine. Definitely speak to your doctor about this first before taking iodine. You can take it in liquid and capsule forms as well. You can take selenium. You can take this in a tablet form. Zinc is in a tablet as well, bladderwrack, that's in capsules, kelp in capsules, or magnesium in tablets. So these are the ones that are going to help with your thyroid if you find on the test that it's low. But if you do find that it's low, make sure you go to the doctors first and foremost, get a test off the doctors in there, see what they have to say, because if there's something wrong with your thyroid, there could be something seriously wrong with your body, so make sure you get that tested. Now, next one is glucose management. Now, glucose travels in the blood to provide energy for physiological processes. Now, some people may have high glucose, low glucose levels, or a fluctuation in glucose as well. Now, high glucose is when the body isn't responding to insulin properly. Low glucose is when too much insulin is being produced. So that's the difference between high glucose and no glucose. And then you could have fluctuations in between as well. And that's, so any problems with your glucose management, you can be fatigued, weaknesses, poor memory, depression, inability to concentrate, weight gain, diabetes. So it's very, very important to control your glucose levels. Now, in order to control your blood glucose levels, help manage insulin, whether it's fluctuations between high and low, or whether you've got high glucose levels, it's the same thing that you need to do with it. Most important thing is your diet. Eat a lower carb diet. If you're eating a high carb diet, it's going to fluctuate up and down all the time. Most important thing first is your diet. Then after that, you can start taking the supplements, fenugreek and capsules, or ALA, which is or alpha lipoic acid. You can take them in capsules, ashwagandha powder or capsules, magnesium a tablet, or Siberian ginseng. So these are going to help you manage insulin better, help control your blood glucose, whether you have high blood glucose or whether you have fluctuations between the two. Now the next one is estrogen dominance. There's a question on here from the biological questionnaire. However, if your woman and you tend to store lots of fat around the hips, thighs and triceps, then that's an indicator of estrogen dominance. And also men, if you get moves, that's a sign of estrogen dominance in men. So the role of estrogen is the growth and development of female characteristics. It regulates a menstrual cycle, helps with smooth skin, protects the brain and heart, helps strengthen bone as well. Now, if you've got poor diet, unbalanced hormones, contraception, age, xenoestrogens in food, pesticides, plastic, stress, liver toxicity can all lead to high levels of estrogen. So lots of things that can imbalance estrogen levels. High levels of estrogen causes weight gain, but also leads to things like ovarian cysts as well. So any women out there got ovarian cysts, it's because you're producing too much estrogen. Signs of estrogen dominance include PCOS, ovarian cysts, rapid weight gain, breast enlargement for men and women, any lumps in your breast, any lumps in your breast, PMS, chronic fatigue, the mood swings as well. So if you see and notice any of these problems on a regular basis, particularly for women, then you are producing too much dominance. Other signs is, like I've just said, if you're storing fat around the hips, thigh and tricep area for women, and if you're storing fat around the moobs for men, then these are indicators of estrogen dominance. So if you do have high estrogen, then one of the things you want to take is DIM. This is produced in a lot of the vegetables that you eat, like broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, sprouts. And if you want to take it as a supplement, you can have a capsule. You can take passion flower, which is a capsule, or a tea. Chamomile, which is tea or capsules as well. Omega 3 fatty acids is very, very important, so have that in liquid or capsule form. Also, eating lots of cruciferous vegetables, broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, sprouts, kale, very, very good for helping with high estrogen levels. Also, as is onion, garlic, citrus fruit, red apples, and grapefruit fruits. So, if you do realize you've got a bit high estrogen, then you want to add in some of these supplements and make sure you're eating some of these foods. That's what we're going to look at is testosterone. Now again, don't have any questions in the biological terrain assessment, but if you realise that you haven't got high testosterone, particularly for men, then you want to take some of the supplements in here. So testosterone is responsible for the development of male reproductive tissues, muscle growth, bone growth, hair growth, anti-aging effects, including keeping the skin tight as well, supports the brain function and enhances sex drive. So this is important for men, but also for women as well. Women need testosterone as well. Helps keep them looking younger, helps with the hair as well, helps them have better skin, helps with growth as well, supports the brain and for sex drive for women as well. So women do need a balance of testosterone as well. It's not going to turn into a man, it is needed in the body. Obviously, ridiculously high amounts for women isn't good, but you do need some testosterone and a balance of it for women. Remember, all your hormones need to be in balance. Well, if you do, especially for men, if you find out your testosterone is low, then very important to boost that back up. Things like poor diet, poor blood sugar management, excess alcohol, unbalanced hormones, age and obesity all affect your testosterone levels as well. So if you do have diabetes, then you probably will have problems with your testosterone. Now, low levels of testosterone leads to weight gain, poor muscle tone, low energy, mood swings and decreased sex drive. So signs of low testosterone include loss of sex drive and, for men, difficulty achieving an erection, hair loss, fatigue, loss of muscle mass, increase in body fat, mood swings, saggy skin, particularly around the elbows, knees and arms. So if you see and notice any of these signs, then you might have low testosterone, so you might want to take some supplements to improve that. Things you can take for low testosterone are magnesium and zinc arginine. Take these in tablet. Korean ginseng is powder or capsule form, so if you're a man, you can't get erections, making sure you're getting enough zinc and Korean ginseng in your body, because these are linked to not being able to maintain an erection. Tulsi tea is also good, making sure you're getting lots of fish oils into your body, lots of omega-3 fish oils. MCT as well, medium chain triglycerides, you can take this in powder or liquid, and cook them with coconut oils. These are going to help boost your testosterone levels. So even if you find that any of your hormones or your organs aren't working as well as they should be, the most important thing is to balance your hormones and balance your body overall. Now, if there's one hormone out of balance or one organ out of balance, it's going to have a knock-on effect to your whole body. So the most important thing before you take any supplements is you've got to balance everything in your body, which is what we've been trying to do up to now in this program. So you need to cut out processed foods at each Eat fresh whole natural foods to improve your liver function. Eat a diet low in starchy carbs for your burnout type, which helps your blood sugar management. Eat lots of cruciferous vegetables, which helps lower estrogen. Chew your food till it's liquid, which will help improve digestion. Drink lots of water, 3 to 4 liters a day, which improves your kidney function, helps with digestion and detoxification. Exercise with heavy weight improves your blood sugar management, increases testosterone. Be in bed asleep by 10:30 p.m. because it balances your stress hormones from your adrenal glands. So you need to do all this as well anyway, because if one thing's out of balance, it's going to have knock-on effects for your body. So once eating natural foods, following all this, that's when, and you should have been doing it now throughout the whole of the program, but that's when you can start adding the supplements in. Because if you add the supplements in for any problems you've had, without doing all this, it's not going to have any effect on your body. You've got to be giving your body what it needs first. Once you're doing that, then you start looking at balancing the individual hormones and giving your body what it needs for any organs that you feel that aren't working optimally. So if after this diet up, you keep taking these supplements and you go back to a bad diet, it's just completely pointless. You've got to eat well, got to do everything, and then you can take your supplements on top just to help balance everything out and get your body working better. So what we're going to look at now is the kinetic chain in fat loss. So basically everything affects everything. Everything in your body affects everything. So I've already spoke before about your body, your mind and your brain all affecting everything. But now we're going to take a deeper look into your body and how everything in your body affects everything else in your body, so you know how that works. So what is the kinetic chain? Your kinetic chain is a combined contribution of all your energy and conduction systems. It's basically your whole body. So where people separate the different systems and they specialize in different systems, well, in fact, everything affects everything. It's your whole body. You should look at your whole body as one rather than the separate systems, because what happens in one affects the other system. So the kinetic chain is consists of articular system, which is your joints and bones, the muscular system, which is your muscles, the neural system, the nutritional, which is what food goes into your body, what vitamins and minerals, your endocrine system is your hormones, and your mental system as well. So all of this makes up your kinetic chain, it makes up your whole body, and what happens in one will affect the other one. So we need to learn how each thing affects each thing. So once you know how it affects it, you can look at if then correcting your whole body as well. If you don't realize that your joints are affecting your muscles, or your nutrition affects your mental, or what happens, then you don't really know how your body's working, you're not going to look at correcting your whole body. But if you know that all this is important for fat loss, you can take it all into consideration and then improve everything so you lose fat even faster. So first of all, we're going to have a look at the effect of nutrition on the kinetic chain and in turn fat loss as well. So how does the nutrition affect your endocrine system? Well, if you're eating the wrong macronutrient ratio, this affects the release of your hormones. So if you eat too much carbs, then it's going to release too much insulin, which is going to lead to fat gain. So that's how nutrition can affect your endocrine system in a negative way. Now if you eat in the right macronutrient ratio, it's going to help balance your hormones, help you lose fat faster. Nutrition on the muscular system, well, if you're not eating enough protein, then your muscles aren't going to repair and build. Now if you've got less muscle, this is going to slow your metabolism down, so there's a link between the amount of muscle you have in your metabolism. So more muscle you have, faster your metabolism. So if you're eating lots of protein in your diet, you're going to have more muscle, so you're going to have a faster metabolism, so you're going to burn more calories and lose weight faster. Nutrition on the articular system. Well, if you've got a diet lacking in omega 3, then it's not going to have as much synovial fluid around the joints to keep the joints healthy. Omega 3 helps keep your joints healthy, so if you're not getting enough in your diet, then you're going to end up with a lot of joint pain. Now, if you have joint pain, you're not going to want to exercise because you're in pain, so you're not going to burn as many calories, you're not going to get your body moving, and also your body's going to be under constant stress from pain as well, which means you're going to have increased cortisol levels, and again, cortisol is going to break down muscle, so it'll slow down your metabolism, and also lead to storing fat around your stomach area. So just by not intaking enough omega-3s can affect your fat loss. So next one, nutrition on your mental. Now if you're not eating regular, your brain won't be getting the energy it needs. Same as if you're not having enough carbs and eating a very low carb diet, which is why you need to eat the amount of carbs for your body. Now if the brain isn't getting energy it needs on a regular basis, it's going to send signals to get that energy quickly, and you're going to end up getting cravings and making bad food choices. Reason being that your body knows that sugary foods and high fat foods are going to give your brain energy very, very quickly. So that's what it's going to crave if you're not getting enough energy, and it's going to be like, well, I'm not getting enough energy and I need some as fast as I can. It wants a chocolate bar or something bad for you like that. So you must be eating on a regular basis to give the brain all the energy that it needs so you can have good thoughts, so you're not going to be craving foods. Also, nutrition on the neural side as well. So eating stimulated parasympathetic nervous system. This is resting and digesting. So every time you eat, your body goes into rest and digest mode. However, if you eat on the go, you're rushing around, you never give yourself a break, you're going to stay in fight or flight mode. And if you're not resting, you're not going to be digesting your foods properly. So if you're working flat out and you're eating at your desk, you don't rest and you go straight back to your work, or you're walking around when you're eating, you're not going to get into that rest and digest mode. And if you're not getting into rest and digest mode, you're not going to digest your foods properly, you're not going to get nutrients from that food. So it's very important when you're eating to sit down, rest, chill out, in order to allow your body to digest, in order to get all the nutrients from your food, in order to help you to lose weight faster. So just by being so busy, not getting the time to rest, when you're eating, can affect weight loss and losing fat. So now we've looked at how nutrition affects the kinetic chain. Now we're going to look at how each system of the kinetic chain affects the other systems and in turn fat loss. So nutrition on these is important, but also knowing how each of these systems affect each other, because yes, they all affect each other and they all like make fat loss a lot harder as well and make it a lot harder. So if you can improve all these areas and know how they affect each other, you can lose fat far, far quicker. So the first one, if you've got nutritional dysfunction, if you're over consuming too much sugar, caffeine, grains, processed foods, A numbers, toxins, pesticides, this disrupts your internal environment and disrupts your hormones. So if you've got anything wrong with your nutrition, it's not good nutrition, it's going to affect your hormones, which in turn is going to affect fat loss. Also, if you're under consuming water, macronutrients, micronutrients, phytochemicals, your body not going to rebuild itself and its muscles, this is going to affect your muscle system. You're not going to have as much muscles, you're not going to have fast metabolism, and in turn it's going to affect fat loss as well. So how does the endocrine dysfunction affect fat loss? Well, hormones control your body, including fat storage and fat loss as well. So imbalanced hormones is going to lead to fat storage in certain areas and making fat loss difficult. So we need to balance your hormones out in order to help you to lose weight, like far simply and easily. Now, hormones also control hunger, energy, cravings, mood and motivation as well. So if you're not motivated, you're hungry, you've low on energy and craving, this is going to affect you mentally, and it's going to affect what you eat, and it's going to affect the activity you do as well. So if your hormones aren't balanced, it's going to lead to excess fat storage, it's going to lead to affecting you mentally, and it's going to lead to you not eating right, and it's going to lead to you not doing activity. So it's going to have massive effects if your hormones aren't balanced. So if you've got mental dysfunction, this affects fat loss as well. So if you're lacking in motivation, you're not going to want to exercise and you're not going to eat healthy. So if you're hungry as well, you're lacking energy and craving food, you're going to make poor choices. So you've got to really have a good mental health as well when you're doing it, which is why we've got the life coaching task. But because nutrition can affect the mental, which is why it's important to eat good foods, to think good as well. So if you haven't got on thinking right, it is going to affect your fat loss. Now, muscular dysfunction also affects fat loss as well. If your muscles aren't rebuilding, then this is going to slow down your metabolism as well. Now, if you're not using your muscles regularly through exercise, then they're going to atrophy, which means they get smaller. So a lot of people, they're not following any kind of healthy diet and they don't do any exercise, so they have no muscle mass, so they have a slow metabolism, so they can find it hard to lose weight. Whereas as soon as you're eating good foods again and as soon as you're doing some exercise, your muscles are going to be more toned, you're going to have a faster metabolism, so you can lose weight far quicker. So if you're not working your muscles as well, your hormones are going to store glycogen in your fat than your muscle as well. So if you're working your muscles regularly, you're going to store the glycogen into your muscles rather than storing it as fat. So this is going to help with fat loss as well. And also, if you're not exercising correctly and balancing the flexibility and strength of the muscles, then this is going to lead to bad posture, pull your joints out of alignment as well. If your joints are out of alignment, you're going to be in pain, so you're not going to want to exercise. If your posture's pulled out of alignment, it's going to affect your internal organs. They're not going to be in position, so they're not going to work as properly as well. So correcting your balance between the muscles, so that's very, very important as well to help with fat loss. Articular dysfunction also affects fat loss as well. If your joints are out of alignment, then this is going to affect your neural system. So if this affects your neural system, then it's not going to get the neural feed to the muscles. If it's not getting the neural feed to the muscles, your muscles aren't going to be as strong. They're going to atrophy and get smaller, which is going to slow your metabolism. Also, if you're not getting the neural feed to your internal organs, they're not going to work as efficiently as well. If they're not working efficiently, it's going to affect digestion. So if you've got your back's out of alignment, any vertebrae in your back in certain areas, can affect the whole of your body. There's links from each vertebrae being out of alignment to affecting the whole host of places in your body. So if your back's out of alignment, then it can affect the whole host of your internal organs and they're not working efficiently as well. So you might want to look into addressing any imbalances in your body, making sure everything's correct in your articular system so they're all lined up and your body's got good posture so it can work more efficiently. Also, if you've got neural dysfunction, if your internal organs aren't getting the correct neural feed, again, they're not going to work optimally. If your brain's not getting the right neural feed, it's going to affect your motivation. Again, if your muscles aren't getting the correct neural feed as well, it's going to lead to them atrophying and getting smaller, slowing down your metabolism, and you're not going to burn as many calories, not going to burn as much fat as well. It can also lead to muscular imbalances and poor posture as well if the muscles aren't being told to switch on when they should. So for fat loss and optimal health, it really is important that each of these systems are functional correctly. So you've got your joints are alignment, you've got good posture, your muscles are in balance, so you've got good posture again, you've got a good tone of muscle, so you're burning lots of calories, so you can burn lots of fat as well, got a high metabolism. Importantly, get a good neural feed through them joints to the muscles in your organs so they can work optimally. Important that you're getting lots of vitamins and minerals, eating good foods, not eating anything toxic for the body, which helps balance your hormones. Important that you've got balanced hormones from doing exercise, being happy, eating good, and that affects your whole body because your hormones control your whole body. Very important to think good. You think good by eating healthy, but also by stimulating your mind as well, completing the lifestyle. So it's very, very important for fat loss and optimal health that you look into all of this. It's not just exercising, it's not just eating healthy. You've got to look at all of this if you want to lose the maximum amount of weight. So yeah, your body is a bit like a bucket. Now, what normally happens is this: your body can tolerate with a certain amount of stress, and when your body overloads with too much stress, this is when things start to happen. You start to feel fatigue, muscle pain, joint pain, you get colds and flu, weight gain, constipation, diabetes, any kind of disease happens when your body can't deal with enough stress. So a lot of people when they're a bit younger, they can do bad things, they can eat bad foods, but it doesn't seem to affect them because the stress bucket hasn't overflowed yet. So the more bad things that you do to the body, the more chance you've got of it overflowing and then your body starting to break down again. So for example, if you start to eat toxic foods, it's going to start filling up the body, and then your joints are out of alignment, that's going to affect your body, your hormones are balanced, it's going to add more stress to the body, you're going through mental stresses, work stress, money stresses, family stress, this is going to put more stress in the body. If you've got muscle imbalance as well, misaligned joints, at any point, every single person's different, so you can deal with certain amounts of stress, but as soon as your body can't deal with any more stress, it's going to start breaking down. So what we want to do is take out as many stresses as possible in the body to allow your body to start healing itself, and it'll start eventually getting rid of all these problems you've got, getting rid of the diseases, but you have to take as many stresses out the body as fair. So that's why we take toxins out the body and then get eating good foods. It just takes a lot out of that stress bucket. Then if you start exercising and correcting muscle imbalance, is going to take less stress off your body again. If you're completing all these life tasks, thinking better, less stress off your body, balancing your hormones through your metabolic typing, eating for your metabolic burner type, and also taking the supplements for the biological terrain as well. It's going to take all this stress off your body so it can start working far more efficiently. Once it's working efficiently, all your problems will start to go away. So a lot of people, when it comes to trying to lose weight, forget about emptying the stress bucket first. What they normally do is eat less foods and then just try and torture themselves in the gym, try and work harder. But guess what? If you do this without taking these things out of the stress bucket, taking out stress of your lives, it's just going to overflow it even more. So that's why a lot of people feel when it comes to weight loss, if they just try and train harder and just try and starve themselves and not eat much food. So the most effective way to lose weight faster is to empty the stress bucket. Once this stress bucket's emptied, then you can start exercising harder as well. But before you get into very, very intense exercise, it's important to empty the stress bucket to allow room for the intense exercise. Because exercise is a stress. If there's no room, you just add it on top. It's just going to make everything worse. You're just going to be in more pain. Problems are going to feel worse. So before you do anything intense, make sure you empty the stress bucket. So what I like to say about that is releasing the brakes. So imagine now you're sat in a car, the brakes are on, it's like going in doing intense exercise. So the brakes are on, you hit the accelerator, which is doing intense exercise. Well, nothing's going to happen, your car isn't going to move. So if you keep hitting that accelerator, it's still not going to move because the brakes are on. If you keep pushing it and pushing it harder, eventually the car is just going to break down because the brakes are on and it can't go anywhere. It's a bit like exercise as well. Now if you don't take any release the brakes, empty your stress bucket first, and you just start going for the exercise, your body eventually is going to break down even further. So that's what we've done in the whole of this program. We've been releasing your brakes first. Once those brakes are released, you don't have to work anywhere near as hard because there's no brakes on, so you're going to start going forward even just with a tiny bit of exercise. So that's the most effective way to lose weight. Release the stress on your body, release that, and then you'll start losing weight loss. You might not even have to do anything, you might not even have to do much exercise, but once these brakes have been released, you can start working harder and harder. Also, you've got a fat burning potential. So imagine you've got 100% optimal fat burning potential now. So if you're eating healthy, your exercise and your hormonal balance, this might only be 60% of your optimal fat burning potential. Now, if you improve your posture, this might improve it by an extra 10%, so you can see even better results. Now, if you improve your neural feed, improving your muscle tone, doing lots of mobility exercises, improving the neural feed to your body, this might add on an extra 10% of fat burning potential as well. Now if you balance your strength, your flexibility of the muscles as well, this may add on an extra 10%. And then if you're doing the life coaching tasks, improving your mind, this might add on an extra 10%. So if you're just eating healthy, just exercising, just balancing your hormones, then yes, you're going to see amazing results, far better than not dieting, not doing a good exercise, not balancing your hormones. But if you add all these things on top, improving your posture, improving your neural feed, balancing your strength and flexibility, improving your mind, then you're going to even burn even more fat throughout the program as well. So that's why all these little things are very, very important. By themselves, it might not make much difference, but if you add them all together, then it's going to dramatically increase your results. So some important things you can do to improve your kinetic chain is, first one's cutting out processed foods and eating the correct macronutrients. This improves your endocrine and your nutrition system. Eat a wide variety of fresh, whole natural organic foods, which improves your nutrition system as well. You should have been doing that already throughout the program. Also, build muscle. Strengthen the weak muscles, such as the rhomboids, the transverse abdominis, which are your core muscles, your hamstrings, glutes, rear deltoids and hips. These are the typical muscles in people that tend to be weaker because of the everyday lives that we lead, sitting at desks, sitting watching TV, so these normally become weaker. Stretching the tight muscles such as the chest, the trapezius, quadriceps, calves and hips. And this will help correct any muscle imbalances in your body, help improve your posture as well. So these are probably 90% of people, these are the muscles that you want to strengthen and the ones that you want to stretch as well. Also, mobilizing the joints, this is going to improve the neural feed, improve your posture as well. Sleeping, reducing stress, eating nutritious foods regularly, training your mind with the life coaching tasks, these are going to help you mentally. So these are things you can do on your own. There's a lot more things I do as a personal trainer to improve people's kinetic chain, but it's hard to explain it just in this short video. But these things are small things you can do right now on your own to improve your whole kinetic chain, to improve your results even further. now let's have a look at the diet you're going to be following for week six. So week six, we're going to be following a ketosis protocol. So what is ketosis? Well, ketosis is a state of elevated levels of ketone bodies in the body. This is because the body is deprived of glucose, and when this happens, it will first use glycogen, and when this is used up, which usually takes 24 to 72 hours, it will then switch to mainly fat oxidation and a generation of ketones. So that's what we're doing for ketosis, cutting out carbs completely so there's no glucose coming in, so then your body switches to burning fat. Now, ketone bodies are formed by ketogenesis when the liver glycogen stores are depleted. So in order to deplete them, you mustn't put any more glycogen in. If you keep putting glycogen in the body, it's just going to keep restoring it. So during fasting, low carb diets, long physical training sessions, the body starts using fatty acids instead of glucose. So when there's no more glucose to use, it will start breaking down fat. Now, the brain cannot use long chain fatty acids for energy because it cannot pass the blood brain barrier. So when this happens, ketone bodies such as isoacetate and B-hoxybutyrate produced in the liver during fasting are able to cross the blood brain barrier, so these are used by the brain for energy. As well as isoacetate and B-hydroxybutyrate, ketones also consist of acetone as well. So the human body tries to lower acetone levels by breathing it out, causing a sweet and fruity breath, and also reduces ketones by expelling it through your urine as well. And this is how you measure if you're in ketosis as well. You can get these sticks and then measure it in the urine. If it shows up, then you know you're in ketosis as well. So if you want to buy these sticks, they're very, very cheap, and it just helps you know that you're definitely on ketosis. So now when the body is in ketosis, you will tend to feel a bit less hungry than you usually do. You might eat less, and you're also going to burn a tremendous amount of fat because there's no glycogen to be used for energy, so your body's using your fat stores for energy. So during ketosis, the body switches from being a carbohydrate burning machine into a fat burning one, and that's what we want. We want to burn a tremendous amount of fat. Now the fat stores become a primary energy source, and you lose weight far quicker in a ketosis state. Now proteins and fats are typically used for building and repairing tissue and cells. However, if necessary and when necessarily, and there's no glucose coming in, then you can use proteins and fats for energy, and that's what ketosis is. So now experts cannot agree on whether ketosis, well, long-term ketosis, is good or bad for humans. So this is a low-carb, high-protein diet. Now short-term is, there's no problems with short-term, but whether it's long-term, some experts say it's not bad long-term, some say it's completely fine. So some say it's dangerous, while others point to human evolution. So hunter-gatherer species used to live on high amounts of protein and fat and very little carbs, and they lived for long periods in ketogenic states. Now there's also documented cases nowadays of being in long-term ketogenic states, such as Eskimos, they live on whale blubber, seals, lots of high-fat foods, and they live perfectly healthy lives in ketogenic states. So as long as we're doing it short-term, it is safe. Long-term, some say it's safe, some say it isn't, but we're only doing it very, very short-term, so it is safe to do very, very short-term. So as well, according to studies, after a 2 to 4 week period of adaptation, human physical performance is not affected by ketosis. So if we're only doing it for a few days to a week, so yes, you're going to be affected, you're not going to quite perform as well. But if you kept it up for a few weeks, then your performance levels come back. So I've seen studies done on athletes, for the first few weeks, the endurance, the fitness levels went down, but then after 2 to 4 weeks, the fitness levels come back, and by being on a ketosis diet, it didn't affect the performance. So at the start, yes, you're going to struggle a little bit, you're going to lack in a bit of energy, but overall, you're going to feel better doing it, and you're going to burn a tremendous amount of fat. So just to be safe on the safe side, if you ever follow ketosis on your own, you should never be in a ketosis state longer than 14 days. You can cycle on and off it. Now, just, it is safe doing it for a short amount of time. I wouldn't make you do it if it wasn't safe, but because some people have said long term it may not, then never do it longer than 14 days. Now, a study carried out at the Johns Hopkins Children's Center in Baltimore in the USA was conducted for 8 years and found ketogenic diets to be safe over an 8-year period. So They've been proven to be safe for 8 years, so what I'm telling you to do is not going to harm you in any way. The only good thing that it's going to do is help you burn a tremendous amount of fat during the time that you're following it. Now, these studies were carried out in patients up to people 26 years old, and they weren't done on older people, and they weren't done long term, but we're only doing it for a few days, so they're going to be safe. If people have done it for 8 years, we're going to be doing it for a few days, so it is safe. But you mustn't confuse ketosis with ketoacidosis. They're completely different, and this can develop in those with type 1 diabetes. So if you do have type 1 diabetes, I don't want you following this ketosis protocol. Message me on the Facebook group and I'll give you another diet if I follow instead. But everyone else, it is safe to do. So in order to achieve ketosis, the body must be in a high fat, high protein diet, and very, very little carbs, or no carbs whatsoever. So throughout this ketosis protocol, you're going to be cutting out carbs at the very start in order to reach ketosis very, very quickly. So what is the ketosis protocol we're going to use? So for a period of 4 days, you're going to cut out all carbs completely. So all you're going to eat is protein and fat. So this comes from meat, fish and olive oil, and you're going to eat 5 to 6 meals per day. If you eat less than this, you're going to struggle with energy, so you have to be eating very, very regular between this. Then for the last 3 days of the week, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, you're going to eat meat, fish, poultry, and then you can add in low carb vegetables as well. So once after the first 4 days up on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, you've just eaten meat only, fish only, poultry as well, then you're going to cut out carbs completely. It's going to deplete your body of the glycogen, and then after it's depleted, you can add in the low carb vegetables. It just keeps you in that ketosis state even longer. But if I just made you eat just meat, poultry and fish only for the whole week, you're not going to feel as good, and just by adding them low carb vegetables, you're going to stay in that ketosis state anyway, and you're still going to be burning fat, and it just helps it a bit easier to stick to. It's when you start adding the carbs back in, the higher carbs, is when you move back out of ketosis. So this week you must only drink fresh pure water, minimum 3 litres per day. Especially during ketosis, you're going to want to drink more water. 4 to 5 litres per day is going to be recommended, because you're going to become more thirsty, because you're not getting the water that's in the carb kind of foods, because when there's carbs there's water in them. So making sure you're drinking more water this week to help you get through this week. So the 4 days ketosis protocol, very simple. Eat 5 to 6 meals per day for 4 days, consisting of only these following foods and herbs and spices. So I'm going to go through them now. You're going to have on the website a list for the 4 day ketosis, and then a list of foods for when you can add the low carb veggies. So I'll quickly go through the list. So when you're doing your first 4 days, it must be meat. So you can have beef, bison, lamb, pork, rabbit, venison, wild game, heart, kidney and liver. Remember, if you're having heart, kidney and liver, it must be organic. You can have poultry, chicken, duck, game birds, goose, pheasant, quail, turkey. You must not have eggs during the first 4 days. You can add them back in for the last three, but for the first 4 days, no eggs. Have any kind of fish and seafood, listed them all on here. You'll have got the list on the website, so I don't need to talk through them all. Oils and fats, you can cook in coconut oil, coconut butter, and extra virgin olive oil as well. Herbs and spices, you can add any herbs and spices to your foods as well when you're doing it. Just helps give you some taste to your diet. Now, what you want to do as well, I've given you some sample meal plans on the website, but you might want to pair two foods together, because if you're just eating like a steak or just a chicken or just one piece of fish, you're going to get a bit bored. It might not fill you up as well, so you might want to pair two foods together. So you might want to have steak and chicken one day, next day turkey with some sort of fish. So just, you might want to look into pairing the foods together throughout the 4 day ketosis protocol as well. So when you're going to the 3 day meat and veg protocol, eating 5 to 6 meals per day as well, and this is going to consist of the following foods and herbs and spices as well. So again, eating meat as well is going to be allowed in these days. Poultry, and you can add eggs back in for the last 3 days as well. So you can add them back in, not for the first 4 days, but you can add them in for the last three. You can have fish and seafood as well. And then these are the vegetables you're allowed to add in. Only add in these vegetables, no other vegetables. Any other vegetables contain too much carbs and they'll take you out of ketosis. So you can have asparagus, avocado, beetroot, broccoli, sprouts, bamboo shoots, cabbage, cauliflower, celery, cucumber, dill, eggplant, fennel, garlic, ginger root, ginseng, green bean, green pea, kale, kohlrabi, lettuce, mushroom, mustard colour, onion, parsley, peppers, radish, rocket salad, spinach and watercress. So lots of vegetables you can add back in, but these are the only ones you can have. Cook in again an extra virgin coconut oil, coconut butter and extra virgin olive oil. And again, add in lots of herbs and spices. Use as much as you want. Wherever possible, it should be fresh. You can use dry, but make sure there's no chemicals or anything added to them. So don't forget, every single meal, you've got to eat protein. Well, you're going to have to for the first 4 days because it's protein only. Remember, wherever possible, eating fresh, whole, natural, organic foods. Drink a minimum of 3.5 litres of water per day this week, but preferably 4 to 5 litres this week. You'll want to drink more water because you will be more thirsty. Vary the foods you eat as well. Try and eat lots of different meats. Once you can eat the vegetables again, eat lots of different vegetables, but eat as many different, especially fishes. If you're going to have to eat lots of different fish so you're not getting sick of the same foods, prepare your meals in advance. You're really going to have to prepare your meals in advance this week. You're going to have your meat cooked, prepared and took it with you. Still keep your food diary, still keep your Empower journal, fill it in. It's going to help, especially with motivation. Get to sleep 8 hours every single night. Be in bed, asleep by 10 o'clock. And reduce stress as well. So this is going to all help stick your diet if you're doing this. But remember, it is safe doing it. I went through that. There's some people out there who say it's not safe, because I think you deserve to know that doing this long term isn't proven by everyone to be safe, and there's a few people that said it may not be, but that's long term. We're doing this for a week. It's completely safe. People have done it for 8 years, but I think it's good that you know that. I don't want you to follow this long term, because I know if I tell you to do this and you lose a tremendous amount of fat, there will be some people out there who want to carry it on for good, which you shouldn't do. If you are going to do it in the future, cycle on and off it. Never go for more than 14 days. We're going for 7 days, and really only the first 4 days are getting you to ketosis. That's the tough part. The last 3 days is just keeping you there. You can add the low vegetable carbs back in, just helps keep you there and helps make that diet a little bit easier to stick to. But don't add in anything else on top, because it will take out ketosis. We want to be in ketosis for the whole week, because then it'll help you burn fat throughout the whole week. So make sure that you're following everything. Read through all the sample meal plan that I've gave. Read on the website all the instructions about this week as well. If you do need any help or anything with this week, do ask on the Facebook group and I will help you. And if you've got type 1 diabetes, I don't want you following the ketosis protocol. So if you do have type 1 diabetes, message me on the Facebook group and I'll send through a different diet for you. For everyone else, this week is safe. It's only for a short period of time. I would never make anyone do it if it wasn't safe. You will struggle, I'm not going to lie. It is going to be tough. So it is going to be hard for some people this week. But I actually found this week easier than week 2 when you eat the meat and veg only for a whole week. I found this week far easier. A lot of other people have said this week is far easier. So it will be far easier than what you think. Now, you may think it's a bit weird eating just meat only for breakfast. But hundreds, thousands of years ago, they never had cereals or never had any other food. So they used to eat like this hundreds of thousands of years ago. So yes, it might feel a bit weird at first doing it, but you'll soon get used to it. Might mean having a steak for breakfast or fish for breakfast, and you might not be used to that. So, but it is good, I promise. You're going to lose a tremendous amount of fat this week. And then by the end of the week, you will start to feel better as well when you're doing it. So remember, if you need any help, go on the Facebook group and that can help you through this week. And just stay motivated. You're going to lose a tremendous amount of weight this week. And then after this week, you've just got a couple of weeks left to go. So keep up with the great work, and I'll see you on the next video.